to what I think is the worst news ever. Thanks for doing that. I think that's a great start for my sermon because I'm going to start right there. We're going to start with death. Let's pray. Father, we've sung your praises. We've heard your precious word. It's precious because it reorients us to what's true. And we're going to turn again to it to see what is real, to be reminded of what's good and holy. Your word remains when all else fails and fades away. So let us, through your mighty spirit, hear from you today. Change us. We're not yet what we should be, and we know it. So break through and speak to us. Break through all distractions, and maybe in particular our pride that says we know what's right, we got it down. Break through the lies that entangle us so easily and change us, please. Make us new. Breathe life into us again. We worship you, Lord. We love you. We adore you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Death. Death is what I want to speak about this morning. That's that dirty little secret of our modern world. I'm just talking to Tim about the idea that he had preached many moons ago that we don't see it. We don't have it in front of us. We put away people that are dying. We put them in a place that we don't run into them anymore. And I was talking to my father-in-law yesterday at my home and saying one of the most powerful things that I've ever seen was him taking in his mother, and maybe more importantly his wife, taking the mother-in-law and seeing her through that process of death in their home. It's a promised end to all these bodies we've got. It's a certainty for each of us. But we prefer to ignore it, right? We don't want to talk about it much. We don't want to joke about it. We really don't even want to talk to our children about it. People no longer die, as I've said, in our presence, in our homes. And even in the midst of this generation's first pandemic, we're really good at avoiding the thoughts and conversations of death. Yet if you look into God's perfect word, and we will at length today, you'll see that death is talked about continuously. It's mentioned hundreds of times in the Bible, several times just in the little scripture we're going to go through today in 1 Corinthians. Here's a small portion to get us started. God's word. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. And the wages of sin is death. By the sweat of your face, you're going to eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. For dust you came, and to dust you shall return. The living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. I like that scripture. They have no more reward, for the memory of them is just forgotten. When man's breath departs, he returns to the earth, and on that very day, his plans perish. Oh Lord, make me know my end. Remember that. Make me know my end. And what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of the world. The word of God. I had a best friend in middle school. His name was Mike Sedlak. We had every class together. In seventh grade, we were inseparable. Even in band, he was first trumpet, darn him, and I was second trumpet. I got a call in the summer following that year, and it was a strange call because it was the one and only call I've ever gotten from his oldest sister. And she said, look, rather mechanically, Mike was on a youth group trip to Yosemite. He fell off a trail to his death. It wasn't about a year and a half later, my friend Paul Rorix, who I sang next to in choir, same height, we sang the same part, he died in the middle of a school night of a brain aneurysm. At his parents' request, we were given the difficult task of singing at his funeral. Why do I tell you these stories? You've probably got many of your own. These are not just a warning to not sing or perform music next to me. It's more than that. It's my very first of 3 points. Death is tragic. It's a true tragedy, the biggest tragedy. It doesn't always wait until we live a good long life. It just comes. It steals any hope, any potential, any dreams. These young men that I knew well left their families and will never have a family of their own. They left their families with sorrow and regrets that they hold to this day. They'll never experience the joys of living on this earth that you and I have, many of us have already experienced. Death steals. Death destroys, and it's waiting for each one of us. And as if that's not enough, and we were just chatting about this up here a little bit, the road to our death is typically no cakewalk. There's growing aches and pains. There's loss of friendships and family. The monotony and the difficulty of just completing the daily routines. And finally, everything we've ever done, everything you and I have ever accomplished will be forgotten. Forgotten. Fame, fortune, friends, family, love, deeds, gone. All will disappear from memory and from earth. I love to build sandcastles. I'm often embarrassed, but not enough to stop, because I'm always the oldest one in the beach going at it. And I go at it for hours. Bless my kids who will join me, but I outlast them. I'll dig. I'll create for many, many hours in the sun. And I got skin that's not made for that. I'll build walls and towers. I'll build moats and trestles, roads, battlements. Oh, I love it. But the high tide of the afternoon is inevitable. Predictably, and I would say tragically, I don't know if my youngest kids think that, they think it's funny, but the waves overtake all of my work. Slowly at first, but eventually completely. Total obliteration. There's not a trace of what I worked so hard at. Death is a great tragedy. All right, let's turn to our passage today. Bible, phone, find it. 1 Corinthians 15, we've mentioned it a few times. Verse 50 is where we're going to go, verse 50. I have 3 points for today. They're going to be followed by three related applications. So here it is for your notes. I just relayed at length, death is a great tragedy. I assume there's no arguments. You look sad. Okay. We're going to go through now a great mystery, and I will finish with that great victory, that good news that we heard from Brother David. Tragedy, mystery, victory. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The perishable cannot inherit the imperishable. All right, so right off the bat, we know not only is death a great tragedy, it's going to happen to us all. We're flesh and blood. We're perishable. But we also see today that these corrupt bodies, right away, we see that heaven's not available for them. These earthly bodies are prone to injury. They're prone to sickness, disease. They cannot enter the perfect kingdom of heaven, the place where the incorruptible, the immortal, the eternal dwell. We have death, and we have death without hope. But wait, verse 51, listen, I tell you a mystery. He's not going to tell us just a mystery, he's going to reveal it. We will not all sleep, we'll not all die, we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at that last trumpet. It's getting good, right? For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and will be changed. The perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. This is where I want you to pay attention. Your body and my body is mere material. It's wonderfully made, there is no doubt. I don't know how you get into this idea there's no God if you know anything about how these bodies of ours work. It's fantastic. But they're mere material. They're insubstantial. They're corrupt, right? The definition of corrupt, made unreliable by errors and alterations. We all know that was software, right? Just made unreliable by all these errors. The Christian word for that? Sin. There's a train ride to heaven in C.S. Lewis's fun book, The Great Divorce. And the train allows the passengers to disembark when they get up to heaven, to the fields that oversee the beautiful mountains of heaven. And the people get off there, but the blades of grass are so solid that they can't walk on them. It hurts their feet. They're actually injured by it. We need new bodies. These bodies can't make the trip. They're perishable, passing away, right? They're mortal. They have an end. They can't find their way to God's presence. They must be changed. If you're a dedicated follower of Christ, you know they will be changed. Transformed is a word we often use, and a great one. Your body will also be changed instantly. That's part of the mystery. That is the great mystery that's revealed in Christ, the first among those whose bodies is changed. The corruptible exchanged in a moment for the incorruptible. New bodies that can't just walk on those fields of heaven that are so solid, but they actually belong there. New bodies that can enter into the home of the immortal, the dwelling place of the eternal God and his angels. Jesus gave us the key to this great mystery. How are we going to get to heaven? How are these bodies going to change? His body was changed first, that we might have proof on how we're going to enter into God's presence. Many people witnessed Christ's wonderful new transformed body. Vinod talked about it. He presented his new body, Jesus did, showed it off, if you will, to Peter, to the disciples, to hundreds of people at one time. And if you, like me, felt that my earlier description of death and these failing bodies hit a little too close to home, now's the time to look up. Be encouraged. These bodies not only must be changed for Christian, they shall be changed. Changed how? Into what? Well, let's listen to these verses. Beloved, now we are children of God, and what will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Jesus will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. When you sow, you don't plant the body that will be. You just plant a seed. Elder Matt talked about this a bit. You just plant that seed, and the scripture says perhaps it's wheat or something else like it, but God gives it a body the way he's determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of heaven, like the stars forever and ever. We will have become united with him in a death like his, and so we will also certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. A great tragedy, yes, a great mystery now revealed, and further, that great victory. Verse 54. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, the mortal have become immortal. Then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. That was Isaiah's prediction. As we continue on to verse 55, we'll get to Hosea's prediction 800 years before Jesus. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is that thing called sin. And the power of sin is the law that lets us know what's sinful. But thanks be to God, he's given the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I had to start sober, right? We had to start serious. Death is the greatest of all enemies. It should not be ignored. I had to remind you of the misery and complete power of death over these bodies. This allows us to somewhat start to comprehend the magnitude, the repercussions of a victory over such a powerful enemy. In the same way, and I hope as parents you guys are doing this all the time, in the same way we talk about sin, we have to understand how broken we are, how misguided we are, how rebellious we are, the depths of it, in order to start to understand the magnitude and the great repercussions of God's forgiveness, right? It's the same idea. Here's my final portions of scripture that I want to share with you on death. Or maybe more true to the fact on life. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never ever die, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, nor any height, nor any depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ our Lord. Amen. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. For as in Adam all died, so in Christ all will be made alive. Then I heard a voice from heaven, and it said this, write this down. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. That's you and I. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit. They will rest from their labor, and their deeds will follow them. Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys the word will never see death. Look, God's dwelling place is among the people, and he himself will be with them and be with your God, and will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning or crying, pain, for the old order has passed away. Amen? Amen. Amen. That is victory. That is great victory. This is the result of Jesus' death, his resurrection. Death, which was so seemingly all-powerful, has been defeated. Death, where's your sting? Let's finish up with some application. And that final verse, 58. Listen to the words. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. In light of death, that great tragedy, how ought we to live? Well, you're sensible people. Live in a way that doesn't ignore it. It acknowledges death. Live as people who see the big picture, who see it all as Christ has laid it out for us. Live with wisdom, live with foresight, and a certain amount of seriousness and somberness as you go about the work of the Lord. And then I would say, please, please never miss a good funeral. Take every opportunity you can to go and bring your loved ones to a good funeral. We have to recalibrate our thinking. We have to. Take your family. Several months back, I attended perhaps the best funeral I've ever attended. Hundreds of people laid out on a football field. Friends, family, talking about the loss of a young man, one of my son's good friends, Jonah. In his 20s, why was that funeral good? Because it was. It was beautiful. Because it was a funeral of hope. The age was tragic, and Jonah was wonderful. But he knew Christ. He knew Christ so much, so well, was so big about it that the thing that everyone kept saying is, live loud, because that's what Jonah did. He lived Christianity big. And he had that joy of Christ. It was not a sorrowful, there were tears everywhere, but it was not a sad funeral. You see, death doesn't care if you're young or old. Doesn't care if you're good or you're bad or you're rich or you're poor. It cares not for your ethnicity, your background, your accomplishments. We need to be reminded of this often because it changes the way we live. stuff starts to lose importance and people gain importance, our souls begin to matter once again. This is an aside for parents. Your children need to go to those good funerals as well. Sure, be age appropriate as you speak to them, but they need to understand the things that matter, and they do. They shouldn't fear death. We're Christians. We don't fear death like the world does. Children should be taught that there's a price for sin. It's death. Believe me, they understand some of this, and they can easily understand, but there's a mystery of transformation, and there's a victory in resurrection. Now, as for that great mystery, our bodies being one day transformed like that, how ought we to live? For me, this is simple. Prepare for the life your new body that's to come. Prepare for the future. Read scripture and pray. Grow in your spiritual body. Devote yourself to Christian disciplines. Stop holding on so tightly to this earthly body, fearfully and wonderfully made, but broken and passing. Don't hold on to the stuff that satisfies it and gratifies it. This body is corruptible. It's broken by sin and by evil, and it's full of both those things. We just read Paul's command, and look at it once again. Stand firm, let nothing move you. Stand firm on what? The truth. Stop living like those in the world. The world has bought a lie. It's bought a lot of lies. One of the lies is that it will never be transformed, that this is it. We'll never live beyond these bodies. These lies can't move you. What's the most prevalent lie in our church, in the Western church? What affects you and I like it's probably never affected any of our brothers and sisters in history? I'm going to argue materialism. Materialism runs rampant in our lives, yours and mine, and you need to fight it, starting now. Materialism starts with this greedy, give me more, and then it continues with this stingy, protect what I've got. It starts with many goods and much money, but you know what it ends with? A fanatical clinging to the life in this body. God has a much better plan for you. You're more solid than that. You've got eternal purpose, meaning that goes on, and real joy. So live for the immortal. Love every soul around you and tend to your own soul. And finally, as Christ followers, we know the all-time greatest victory. I want to do Rocky or something. Jesus has conquered death on our behalf. So how ought we to live? Doing the work that lasts for all eternity. We're actually not forgotten. The things we do in Christ are actually not forgotten, ever. Verse 58 again, Paul says, give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. How ought you to live? Do the eternal. Do the worthwhile work. Go rescue people. Save eternal souls. Tell of the hope that you have in you. The victory. Share the gospel. The good news. God became man to show us the way. Jesus died for our sins and united us with Christ, if we believe. And following him promises purpose and joy now and into eternity. Tell everyone. That's your wonderful work. That is not in vain. That will never be forgotten. Father, open our eyes to see this life for what it is. We're not just passing through. We are going to pass on, Lord, into something new and wonderful, but we're preparing for it now. We're learning to love. We're learning to trust and obey you. Thank you, Jesus. that you have won the greatest of all victories, that our bodies will be changed, and that when we die, we will be ushered into your presence. So please remove our fears. Through your Holy Spirit, give us the boldness to then live out and speak the good news of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.